Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you take it, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin. Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. You good?
I'm good, man. Yeah. Just happy to be here.
Like your purple shirt there.
Oh, thanks.
Very nice.
You said that last time I wore it, too.
Yeah, I like it. I like the shirt. Still to come this hour, Dallin Cuff from ESPN talked Champions League and college hoops with us. He's got six plays in college hoops. Matt Brown, who is our old primetime action buddy, VSiN's own Matt Brown, will not be joining us in studio, but we'll have him via Skype for a little primetime action reunion. Get his NFL thoughts for week 13, including the Thanksgiving and Black Friday games. Jason Weingarten standing by. First, by the way, I was saying at the beginning of the show, what I like is that people were getting mad at Drew and at Pete this week. You know what people love, though, more than anything? Just a confirmation of that? Survivor talk. We talked to Jake Bensequin, who's one of the remaining 54 entries in Survivor. You put that clip up on Twitter and you blink and it's like, ah.
Oh, it's wild. It's wild.
The views, it's like tens of thousands immediately. People love that stuff.
Then we had the Survivor documentary one making the rounds as well. Man, oh, it's tough to watch.
That Survivor documentary one is the camera on a gentleman who had the commanders, and the camera is on him. And you don't even, it's not, there was no even explanation necessary. You know by the game's events, right?
Right.
You know, so it's first Terry McLaurin, the greatest, you know, the incomparable.
Oh, here it is right there.
The incomparable Terry McLaurin. This is a courtesy of Stephen Shalansky in the Survivor doc. This is the gentleman who's going crazy when McLaurin is doing his thing down the field for the DC Skins, 84 to the hizzy. Oh, he's going nuts. This is happening. It's a miracle. And if you just play this out, we all know what's about to happen.
It's so
he
bad.
Doesn't, though, of course, right? He's here.
It is.
Cut forward. Here's the extra point from Austin Seibert. It's up.
And he's trying to calm everybody down before, too. And boom. Oh, it's so tough to watch.
Dude, can we be serious for a second? That is brutal.
Oh, it's
there
awful.
There is nothing worse than losing in Survivor late in the season. To lose like that. Oh, poor dude.
And have to know the whole time you're on camera, too.
Oh, man. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Brosek, 1870. Take a look at Jonathan Grenard for Defensive Player of the Year, high up in sacks and hurries. Grenard of the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can get there. We were saying before, Defensive Player of the Year feels like the most just by acclamation award that we've ever seen.
I mean, Defensive Player and Defensive Rookie of the Year are both just kind of, I don't want to say boring to me. I just don't have a good take. I don't have a good bet on any of them.
Rich PSM, worst Heisman West Coast blunder was Marshall Faulk in 1992, beaten by Gino Toretta. Yes, Faulk had almost 2,000 yards, total 11 touchdowns. Gino was on a number one team, threw for 19 touchdowns. One kind of lasted longer than the NFL. people forget, and this is why Rich PSM, this is why I bring up the McCaffrey thing. People forget the East Coast bias was real back then. Like, it was just ridiculous. It was so bad. Shades of Mako says, for the Stanford days, I believe Pac-12 had their own network, which made finding those games a little harder.
Oh, that could be.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was. And Jody Boggs says, we got to know Stormy's first impression of Todd. Todd was definitely on fire on the Megapod with Gil and Will. Her first impressions, I kind of warned her a little bit.
Yeah, I think you warned her multiple times.
Yeah, I was like, hey, just so you know.
I didn't want
her going into it cold and being all surprised. I think she enjoyed herself. Yeah, I think she enjoyed herself. I think she was being genuine when she said that. Jason Weingarten is here, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He comes to us from under a cloud of smoke in Southern Cali. You can find him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. What's happening, man?
Not much. I think today is actually the first day in like 5-6 weeks without a football game. Is that correct?
No, do we really have no? There's no random college football.
There's no action tonight. Yeah, today's the day.
Nothing.
Plenty of college hoops, though. That's for sure. But you're right. Yeah. Today's the one non. By the way,
and then like all the NBA and NHL, right? Because they take off tomorrow.
Speaking of that, I had an in game on Toledo last night, +3.5. They're down 7-0 at halftime to Akron. I know this is my life.
Why are you trying to go up against the Zips?
They were down 14-0. They come back because they're a way better team. They come back. They tie it up 14 apiece, and they have a chip shot field goal to win the game. And their kicker, who had already missed a chip shot, not to mention a 40-something yarder, misses the chip shot. They lose in overtime. It's just like one of these brutal losses. You're like, how can you possibly lose this? And yet they did.
Yeah.
Maction. There you go, Maction. Let me ask you before we get to some of your football awards thoughts. Blake Snell signs yesterday, Jason, with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Blake Snell, who most recently, of course, played for the Giants, won a Cy Young, his second Cy Young right before that with the Padres. He stays in division. He goes to the world champion Dodgers, 5 years, $182 million. And we were talking about this a little over the break. One of the things is there's a bit of outrage about it. Outrage might be a little strong, but there's certainly a little bit of anger and deflation about it. The fact that Blake Snell, two-time Cy Young Award winner, goes to the Dodgers because of course he does, because there's no salary cap and they can just spend all the money in the world. Your guys' reaction to that was, well, are you surprised? No, we're not surprised, but you shouldn't be surprised that people are mad either. Does that kind of sum it up?
Yeah, but I mean, I think the outrage should be, you know, the same outrage should have been there last offseason when Blake Snell was a free agent for 115 days and didn't get an offer from anybody until spring training started. Every team in baseball had an opportunity to sign Blake Snell to a long-term contract last offseason. Every team in baseball had an opportunity to sign Blake Snell to a long-term contract this offseason. So if you're mad that the Dodgers did it, you should write a letter to the owner of your favorite team and encourage them to spend more money or sell the team, because the Dodgers are clearly committed to building the best organization they possibly can, and you know other organizations in baseball aren't. That's not the Dodgers' fault that they're trying to be better than everybody else. That's everybody else's fault for not being committed to being a winner.
But listen, Jason, I know you're not a Dodgers fan. Let's get that out of the way first.
I'm absolutely not a Dodgers fan. Not even remotely.
Okay.
I completely agree.
This is what Kelly was accusing me of being a Niners fan last week. I'm like, what are you talking about?
But this is step up. This is smaller market teams. Fine. You're going to steal money from the cities to build stadiums and everything like that. If you're a fan of one of these teams, be angry at your own ownership.
Okay. This is a wonderful argument. But let me just ask you guys this. Does it get to a point where a team is so off the charts good with talent, right? That let's just say, I'm not saying this is what their season win total is going to be, but let's say it did get so gaudy, right, that it got into the north of 105. Let's just play along, right? It probably won't, but let's say it does. I guess the question is, does imbalance bother you at any point? Or is it just like, hey, they still got to win it on the field, regardless of how the fact that they can outspend teams tenfold?
You know, I think a lot of it's not just about outspending, because you look and they got the deferments. They have almost $1 billion in deferments to 5 players on their roster. So a lot of it doesn't come down to them spending. It's the financial engineering that I think people are upset about. And it's just at the end of the day, as a matter of fact, the Dodgers are a good organization. Players want to come and play for good organizations, and they're willing to defer money to play with other good players to play at good organizations. Like if your team is not competing, then I suggest going out and hiring all the driveline people you can hire and put them into your front office and start listening to them. And maybe in a couple of years, you can catch up to the Dodgers if you work incredibly hard and put millions and millions of dollars into your front office and baseball operations like they do every year.
And like, of course, the imbalance bothers me. Yes, Gil, it bothers me. Change the sport then. Set a salary cap. Change how it's done. That's not the Dodgers' fault. No. That's a baseball problem.
Yeah, it's very Dodgers fanny from a non-Dodgers fan. That's what I'm saying.
It's also just a matter of fact, the Dodgers read and understand the CBA. And if you make a new CBA, I'm sure that they'll read every line of it and figure out all the loopholes in the new CBA. And same thing happens in football. Same thing happens in basketball. Like
as they should.
Well, yeah, but this is, but you do understand though, that this is why, like, I grew up an Orioles fan. This is why we hate the Yankees and their fans specifically, right? Because especially like they think it's their birthright to have every great player. If they lose Juan Soto, they act like, oh, what a calamity has happened to us. That's,
but Baltimore just got bought by a head of a private equity firm. They're going to pump as much money into the team as possible to make it into a winner. And he said, I'm like 80 years old. I don't have time to sit around and, you know, build this team organically. Let's go out there and win. You know, you should encourage fan bases should encourage their owners to spend money or to sell the teams to people who will.
Not a Dodgers fan. Still a Dodgers fan. Okay. What do you think about the MVP market in the NFL? You wanted to say something about that.
Yeah, so I was at the Eagles game. It was an Eagles home game in LA on Sunday night, and I saw Saquon Barkley. He played great, and I'm a little surprised that his odds have taken such a dive from, you know, 65-1 to 6.5-1. I thought he played great. I'm not necessarily convinced that he's a better running back this season than Derrick Henry, who's also been consistently good. And I'm absolutely not convinced that he's in the same tier right now as Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I would absolutely, you know, be betting against Saquon Barkley right now if there was a, you know, reasonable no market, which there's not. But Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, definitely the guys in the lead there. And then Kelly kind of pointed out the defensive player of the year stuff, the defensive rookie of the year. It's, you know, I'm kind of bored of that stuff too. I don't really know, you know, how to pick out anything there other than acclamation, like you guys said. But the rookie of the year, the offensive rookie of the year, I think Bo Nix should not be plus 160, plus 175. Jaden Daniels did probably one of the worst things you can do in awards betting is he peaked too early, I think. Unless he has another even extraordinary higher peak coming this year, I think Bo Nix is going to flip him as a favorite in the next week or two. Brock Bowers, any other year, he'd probably be a serious contender, but he has 3 touchdowns. Just sort of matter of fact, you're not going to win with a tight end and 3 touchdowns in a year you have 2 extraordinary quarterbacks like this. And then coach of the year, I would expect if Bo Nix wins rookie of the year and the Broncos make playoffs, Sean Payton 6-1. Should drop, you know, significantly over the next couple weeks.
All right. Jason Weingarten got it all in. Right. Thank you, Jason.
What I got.
Appreciate it, man.
Pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Talk to you later.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy it with you and yours. At Spreadopedia for Jason. We'll come back. Matt Brown joins us. Talk some NFL next. Numbers Game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This segment of A Numbers Game is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. There's only one number one draft pick. There's only one champion at the end of the season. And there's only one nicotine pouch brand in America that outsells the rest, and that is Zyn. Zyn is a smoke-free, spit-free, hassle-free nicotine pouch that can be enjoyed anywhere, anytime. Find your Zyn at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
We get tweets at Beating the Book, Todd Bubba Horowitz. He said, I was in that clip wearing the Commodores hat. I was alive until that game. Todd shouting himself out in the clip. Vegas Vice, you buried the lead on the Toledo game. Yeah, I did. Knowing that there's a shaky kicker, Jason Candle, one of the worst coaches in college football, did not call a running play to center the ball on the last field goal. The kicker kicked straight what was on the right hash mark. First of all, just settling for the kick, period, because he knows the kicker was shaky. It was like, I'm going to give my kicker confidence. Yeah, how about you lost the game because of that? Cheap prop bets, he goes, me again, LOL. Although spending the most money should translate to winning championships. Historically speaking, it doesn't really translate to championships. So not as big a deal in baseball, no? Question mark. And JC562076, as an A's fan, it's depressing to see all these owners dropping money like this. I'm just saying it's a kind of a stupid sport at that point. That's what I'm really trying to get at.
And I agree with you. Change the rules.
It's the imbalance, the chasm between the haves and the have-nots could potentially get so big, right, that what are you doing half the time?
Just like the, I will always say about every sport, any coach, any team, taking advantage of something, a loophole in the rules, like Jason said, I will never have a problem with. This is like the NFL, when we've talked about the penalties, right, with the 4th-and-1 situations and waiting to see how they line up and then taking the penalty afterward.
It's from a betting perspective, it also kind of stinks because you know, it used to be, first of all, baseball used to be my number one sport to bet. But now if it gets to the point where the gap widens more and more and more, what you'll have on a daily basis when betting baseball is more and more $3 dogs, right? Mm. And then these guys who are betting based on a model will be like, well, I show value on the you know, on the Chicago White Sox tonight against the Yankees or whatever, right? But it's like, really, do you want to sit through 3 hours of baseball thinking that your model is infallible? Like, it just becomes a not as pleasant an experience. Let's put it that way. Matt Brown joins us, ladies and gentlemen. This is a booking now. This is a booking. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, Matt joins us with a baseball cap on from his lair here in Las Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter at MattBrownM2. What's happening, Matt? What's the baseball?
Yeah, what's the cap?
What's the cap?
No, you just acknowledge it. This is you know, humble brag territory here. This is a Carnoustie hat from Scotland.
Or did the Masters, you know, one get dirty?
Because I went to Scotland and played Carnoustie. So, you know, thanks for the acknowledgement there, Gil.
Hey, you're welcome. Buddy. You're welcome. Yeah. Carnoustie. You're a Carnoustie kind of guy, by the way. I can tell. okay, let's get right into it. Let's start with tomorrow. Let's start with Friday. Let's take that as a group of games. Did you land on anything in the NFL?
Yeah, so I went in, I bet the Cowboys at 3.5 when this thing opened, and mainly based off of the fact that Tommy DeVito is basically the worst quarterback that we've seen in the league in the last couple of years. I mean, you go in and this is, you know, obviously this is before the injury news. This is before that possibly it's going to be Drew Lock and all of that. I mean, there's, and I guess he could still play, right? We have not gotten
definitive word.
Yeah. I mean, because there's 41 quarterbacks last year, Gil, that played at least 200 plays in the NFL. And Tommy DeVito was 39th out of 41 in EPA CPOE composite, ahead of only Zach Wilson and Bailey Zappi, if that tells you anything. Like, the guy is absolutely atrocious. And so as bad as the Cowboys have looked over the last month and a half, I was A-OK betting almost any team in the NFL against Tommy DeVito. But the problem being is that now he might not play. And if it's Drew Lock, I think it's a big difference when it's Drew Lock. I mean, I think Drew Lock is probably at least a middling bad quarterback in the NFL, as opposed to like absolute bottom barrel, bottom of the rung type deal. And so the bet to me is a little less appealing now, I guess, until we get definitive news of who's going to be under center for the Giants.
One of us might have ranked Drew Lock the 13th best backup quarterback in the National Football League.
Hey,
no names. One of us might have done that.
I will say this, though. I don't really, you know, one thing that doesn't matter who plays quarterback, whether for the Giants or not, is just, so CeeDee Lamb, you're getting like plus money right now at over 6.5 receptions for him. The Giants are dead last DVOA versus wide receiver ones in the NFL. Cooper Rush targeted CeeDee Lamb 12 times. He caught 10 of those balls versus the Commanders. The Commanders, by the way, third worst in the NFL versus wide receiver one. So you're actually getting a team that's even worse than the Commanders. So if you think that there's anything to all of that, Rush just targeting Lamb a ton, which I think there probably is, why wouldn't you just throw to your best player and maybe the best player on the field? Then, you know, if we get another dozen targets here, I don't think it's crazy to think we can get to 7 receptions for CeeDee Lamb. A lot of those throws, if you go back and look, were really high percentage throws as well for Cooper Rush. And we're still getting plus money on that, by the way, out there. So plus 110 on over 6.5 receptions for CeeDee Lamb is something that really doesn't matter who ends up under quarterback for the Giants or not.
Nothing in the Lions, Bears, nothing in the Dolphins, Packers, or the Chiefs, Raiders?
So how about the Lions, Bears, y'all talk me through this and tell me why we don't just load up on running back props for the Lions in this thing. The Bears' run defense has been absolutely horrible the last 6 weeks. If you look at what this what the teams are doing to attack them over and over and over again, it's just run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. We know Dan Campbell's perfectly fine with running the ball a ton with both of those guys. And so, I don't know, man. It's not a great price on them for anytime touchdown. Maybe if you want to do the whole little same game parlay of both of them to score, I think that that's at least super interesting. And for whatever reason, if David Montgomery ends up not playing in this game, they say he's going to be fine. But if he ends up not playing in this game, all the Gibbs props that you can find.
Yep.
All overs.
All of them
that you could find. On the Dolphins Packers side of things, I played under 47.5. In that one, I'm on the wrong side of this. It's already moved to 48 at some books out there. I just kind of think that this game, and this is more of a gut feel type deal, is that both of these teams are going to try to attack the other one where they're weakest. And I think that both of these teams are going to try to run the ball a ton on each other. And so with that, I kind of came to the conclusion that this game could play towards a little bit closer towards an under. If we look at, you guys know, we've done a ton of content together. Who hates trends more than me? There's nobody that hates trends more than me. Like, nobody hates trends more than me on the face of the planet. But the only ones I actually do buy into are the weather trends, because it's not team specific. It's not quarterback specific. It's not coach specific. It's just, hey, listen, when the temperature gets to a certain point, it is tougher, or the wind gets to a certain point, it is tougher, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, yeah. I mean, if we look historically, you know, this is supposed to be like mid-20s at kickoff. It's supposed to have the real feel of like 20, maybe even lower than that. But as the game progresses, we could be getting into the high teens. Historically, when temperatures get into this range, like, we see 5 to 8% less offense than we see, you know, when it's higher than this. And so, you know, I think all of that coupled together got me on the under here. But like I said, I'm on the wrong side of this one. This thing's already gotten up to 48.
You know what I recall you hating more than trends, Matt, is spots. You hate spots.
Yes, this is the cold weather spot for Miami, right?
Tua and cold weather. Yeah.
I bet you guys didn't know that Tua's 0-7 all time and temperatures below 40 degrees.
Oh,
because you're going to hear that a whole bunch between now and tomorrow.
We got different numbers on that.
Well,
is Matt going back to college? I bet you that's what it is.
Oh, maybe that's going back to college, yeah. All right, because our mutual friend Stormy Bonatoni, who's the host of Money Moves after this, she said Tua in the NFL anyway, 0-4, 55% completion rate, 21 total QBR. Bad.
Hey, it's the small hands. It's the small, you know, you can't, when it's cold and you can't, the grip of the ball and the all that stuff.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
That was always remember Tony Banks, the NFL quarterback? That was always the scouting report on him. Very small hands. That's why he fumbled all the time. What about Sunday, Monday? What did you land on?
Yeah, I mean, if real quick, just on that Black Friday game. Real quick on that. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but and considering they just don't cover big numbers, but I don't know how you do anything with this Raiders team right now. I mean, now going back to Aiden O'Connell, who had coming off an arm injury. I don't know, man. I don't know how you go back to this Raiders team. If there's like on the quit scale, like if we were power rating our teams that are like very likely to quit, the Giants are right up there. The Raiders are right up there. Like there's a lot of teams I think on the quit-o-meter that are pretty high up there. And I think the Raiders are pretty close to that. So I don't know. I don't know how you comfortably take points with the Raiders. Just nothing I'm interested in there.
You laying it though with the Chiefs? You are doing it?
That's probably going to be a like a for fun play there, Gil. Like not necessarily a let's get deep into it, but certainly something I think I could just have a sweat. You know, hey, listen, it's the only game on that day, right?
I understand.
Yeah. Team total for the Chiefs sticking out to me. Feels like the offense is a little bit more has been needed out of them the past few weeks here on the Kansas City side. Over 27.5 at -102.
Hey, look at that, Kelly Bidlin. That's, you found you a bet.
Yeah, I think I found me one. Bet.
He's going to write it down, a list of bets to do.
Yes, exactly. The to-do list. It's pick up dry cleaning. It's like, make this bet, then go work out, then, you know, all that stuff.
Dry cleaning and gym are on the list.
Real quick before you go, 2 seconds. team name that you think you like the best on Sunday, Monday is? Maybe nothing.
Seattle.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Dallin Cuff on the other side from ESPN College Hoops next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Calling all VSiN poker players. VSiN is partnered with Poker Now. Together, we're hosting an online poker tournament this Sunday, December 1st, 9 p.m. Eastern. You can win a golden passport for a free seat in the largest poker free roll ever, the World Poker Tour's $5 million free roll in Las Vegas later in December. Visit VSiN.com/poker and register today for your chance to win. That's VSiN.com/poker. You know what I took away from that? That's December this weekend. Man.
I know. Wild.
By the way, Dave Tooley, Adam Burke, Scott Seidenberg, VSiN's own, all in that poker tournament. So check it out again, VSiN.com/poker. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Last time this gentleman was on the show, he referred to his new baby boy as, quote, that dude, unquote. From ESPN, it's Dallin Cuff, everybody, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Dallin?
I'm doing well. That dude was going through a sleep regression at the time. My man's doing a lot better the last couple of weeks, so your boy here is doing a lot better as well. Oh. Thank you, guys. Good to be off with you.
Maybe that's what it was, my man or that dude. It was one of those, but you were exasperated.
No. That dude is right. He's the dude. I'm doing better now, but that guy was challenging me in those days. But we're better. We're
good.
In the corner.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Before we get to your college basketball plays, and you have a bunch of them, anything in the Champions League? I know you love soccer just as much.
I mean, that Liverpool-Real Madrid game is going to be – it's just interesting. You got where Madrid is in the table, and with 36-team table and the Swiss rules and whatever, you got to be in the top 75% to get into the next round. And Real Madrid's flirting with not being there, and they got to go on the road to Liverpool. I think it's going to be a great game. It'll be on one of the monitors while we'll be sitting in studio at ESPN today. I'll be trying to focus at the time, I believe, on the third-place Maui game. But we'll see. We'll see. I think also Liverpool wins that game. I don't want to bet against Real Madrid. So what I'm going to play is the both teams to score, no draw. So I think Madrid needs the points. Liverpool's in a great spot. They are very good at home. I think both teams will get on the board. The over-under is really more at 3.5 to have any value. I don't necessarily want to mess with that. I think we could see a 2-1 either way. So give me about even money in most books for both teams to score, no draw.
All right, both teams to score, Real Madrid and Liverpool from Dallin Cuff from ESPN. All right, to college basketball. By the way, you do a great job in studio, Dallin. Mm-hmm. We're all enjoying a full-day college basketball. These early season tournaments are fantastic. Let me ask you a question that I asked of another guest earlier, which is, what is the team that is sort of not the usual answer, right, not the usual suspects at the top of college basketball? What's the team you've observed so far in the early season where you're like, oh, that team might be something that I didn't expect them to be?
Well, the cat's out of the bag now, guys, because, I mean, Auburn is a team that I think people thought about, but I still had questions about, because when you look at, they have so many seniors, they have Jani Broome, but is Pettiford as a freshman going to be a guy that can help them and not struggle against teams that will pressure you? Well, we figured out against Iowa State. You know, obviously, Baker Mazzara was outstanding in that game alone. So I think really this week is about answering questions and whether we thought Auburn was a national title contender. Maybe I was behind. I didn't necessarily think they were. I think my tune has changed. Even if it's Majeed in Houston, I think that tune has changed a little bit. When you look further, down the line, Wisconsin's been one of the surprises of the year. To just now, Arizona has been as well on a negative side. But when they just put one on Arizona, 100-plus points, and you've got, playing faster and guys making shots, and Greg Gard has kind of approached this season differently with this team differently that was picked way down in the Big Ten. I think Wisconsin right now is one of those teams to watch. Okay, this team could be really good, just like Arizona. I believe we'll have Tommy Lloyd on in our studio here coming up later today because Arizona plays another set of Wildcats, Davidson, at the end of the day in battle for Atlantis. They've been a surprise in a negative sense. They got throttled by Wisconsin. They got blasted at home by a good, very talented defensive team in Duke especially. So I'm not out of the Wildcats, but I definitely might be in on the Badgers.
Speaking of the battle for Atlantis, tips off in, 26 minutes from now. Indiana, 14th-ranked Hoosiers taking on Louisville. The Hoosiers are a 4.5-point favorite. You have a bet in this game.
Wow, it's up to 4.5 there, you guys? Because I was 2.5 this morning when I took it. It's a
you know what? You know what? I'm seeing 4.5, but now we're flashing up 3, so maybe this has changed with 3.
Okay, all right, because, I mean, that would be massive movement. I feel great about my pick then, if where we're going. But, I think Indiana's – I like the roster better. Mbako is a very talented wing player. Miles Rice, for folks that followed last year and saw Washington State and what Kyle Smith did with that team, but Miles, the guy that has beaten cancer and is coming back and can score, can make shots, really good in a 2-point range, which I know is something we don't talk about as much anymore, but super efficient in that regard. I think their roster is just better, like Renault in the interior. And the other piece of this is for Louisville and Pat Kelsey, they want to take a lot of threes, guys. We know this, and he's putting his stamp on that Louisville program in year one. They take 55% of their shots from three-point line. That's second most in the nation. We know that's what they're going to do, no matter what. They're shooting 29% from three. They played one high major opponent in Tennessee. They got blasted by 22 in their own building. Remember, when you're playing the battle for Atlantis, it's in that stinking ballroom, which is hard for a lot of teams to shoot in, guys. It takes you a minute to really figure that place out. Now, I could eat my words there, and they could go nuts. But by and large, it can be a tough place to shoot and to acclimate to. So when you are reliant on the threes as they are and have very few other ways to really score the ball, I love Indiana in this spot, and I love them at 2.5. If it's 3, I'm still good with that. The 4.5 would have been, I still probably take a 4.5, but that would be a pretty big move if that actually happened.
Yeah, I got fed a bad number there. My apologies. When I was asking you earlier about, you know, teams that are sort of under the radar, Dayton has a really interesting basketball team. We have a group chat on college basketball, and Dayton has come up from time to time as like, oh, this team's better than we thought they were. They're taking on UConn. UConn has lost two in a row here, close games to Memphis and Colorado. Danny Hurley is apoplectic about it. You like the Flyers plus the points here.
Love the Flyers. I'm taking them on both these two games. Unfortunately, I do live in the state of Connecticut. I cannot bet on today's game, but I'm telling you to take it. If I could. But I can't unless I want to go, you know, offshore like I did in years before in Bulgaria or something. But we're not going back to those days. We are in a bright new future, boys. We're not going illegal again. So I will say that Dayton is the team that obviously people that have watched their first two games. I mean, if Zed Key does not commit that intentional foul, flagrant foul last night, it maybe beat Iowa State. If they don't have a pad shooting performance and some mistakes down the stretch against Carolina, they win that game. This is enough for this game in particular. Dayton's season in terms of their resume could hinge on a game like this. That's what the difference is, I think, in this game in particular. When you look at the A-10 overall, don't sleep on the A-10, by the way. Loyola Chicago's better, VCU's better, St. Louis is going to be good. They have some really quality teams in that league. That said, it's been a one-bid league the last couple years, and Dayton's been carrying the flag for that league along with VCU. They got to win this game is how my approach would be. You need to have these type of resume builders because you may not have as many, you don't have as many in the A-10, and if certain teams don't perform in the non-conference, their metrics can't get better in a league like that. Well, that's what we've seen in recent years, too. So I love them with the points. I think they can win it outright. I mean, this UConn team obviously is struggling to find some identity in terms of their consistent guard play. Aiden Mahaney has struggled. The fouls, guys, is just bananas. Now, they've had a tough whistle, but you have to defend without fouling. It's both games now. It's two different sets of officials. They've been, you know, four guys with two fouls in the first half, and it's affected their rotations. It's affected them down the stretch. I like Dayton's depth. I like, you know, Zed Key, Posh Alexander, added to Malachi Smith and veterans from last year. Nate Santos is one of the best glue guys in the build business, and I like Anthony Grant a lot. So you give me the 6.5. I'm in business. I think they could win this game outright, which would be shocking if UConn goes 0-3 out in Maui.
Sure would be. That's in Maui, as you said, and so is this one. North Carolina, Michigan State. Tar Heels lost to Auburn. North Carolina plays at a fast pace, but you have a creative way to bet this one.
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be possessions in this game. Because as you said, Carolina does want to get up and down. And it's not going to be, you know, a low possession game likely. And Michigan State will run with you too. I still am taking their under on team total, 76.5. I think Carolina, defensively, they can be better. Defensively, their guards are really good. Seth Trimble in particular, Elliot Cadeau. At times, obviously, R.J. Davis. Those are two smaller guards together. You can't exploit them. I don't think that Michigan State has necessarily the players to exploit their size advantage in terms of guard play. And overall, this team still struggles to score or shoot right now. Michigan State shooting like, it was 19% now for the three-point line. I mean, it is on the season. It's abysmal. So I don't see them scoring. They played two other high-major opponents. Neither one of them have gotten over the 76.5. I don't think it happens here today. I think Carolina wins this game. The spread makes me a little wary because I could see this game in three games in 3 days played in the mid-70s, which gets you the under on that, but it may not get you the spread.
Also in Maui, I wish we all were in Maui, Memphis and Auburn, another great game today. Memphis is catching points, almost double digits worth for the full game, but you like Memphis in the first half here. What's your reasoning?
Yeah, they've started games really well. And I think in particular, P.J. Haggerty has been great. Tyrese Hunter has been great. They're great at drawing fouls. I do think the depth of Auburn will wear them down over time. And I think Auburn has been a little bit inconsistent in terms of they've won both games, but obviously they had to come back from a monster deficit in the first game. So I do think the physicality of the bigs too for Memphis will affect Broome a little bit. I think they can, you know, run some bodies at him. The key to this game is who handles pressure better. And in both games, from the guard's position, who doesn't turn over, who can be physical with the ball and still, you know, perform. I do think in the early part of this game, Memphis will hang. It's when you're wearing them down over what now will be, what, your 120 minutes. I'm not good at math, but I believe that's about it when you go three games in 3 days. I think you get to the back part of that, Auburn's depth may be able to pull away. So I'm a little worried about the full game cover. I do like Memphis to cover the 4.5 in the first half.
All right. Also from Dallin, Xavier on the money line versus Michigan, and you're laying the wood with the Zags.
Yeah, Xavier thinks it's better. I think they're a better team in a neutral environment. I think they can score more consistently. I think that's almost like a number based on brand more than anything else with Michigan versus Xavier. I don't really care about the fact that Xavier's ranked right now. It doesn't really matter. I like their team better. And the Zags, folks, Zags are for real. And I think they might put a pummeling. So I'm going to lay the 14.5 in that 2:30 Battle for Atlantis game.
Yeah, that one's against West Virginia. Dallin, thank you so much for making the time. Enjoy the day of college basketball. Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Same to you guys. Enjoy.
Dallin Cuff from ESPN, at Dallin Cuff on Twitter. We'll come back. Our NFL power rankings will wrap things up. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Coming up top of the hour after a numbers game, Money Moves with Stormy Bonatoni. Stormy welcomes in Patrick Maher today from noon to 2. Patrick tells his dating stories and Stormy reacts.
Great NBA guest, Nick.
Who's their NBA guest? Kelly Bidlin. Kelly Bidlin has been booked for that one. That's Money Moves from noon to 2 with Stormy. Then Prop Points with John Hansen from 2 to 3. Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4 thereafter. It's VSiN, the sports betting network, on your day before Thanksgiving. By the way, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Yeah.
Again, safe travels if you happen to be traveling, and good luck making that turkey. We got in a whole turducken conversation on the Megapod yesterday.
Oh, I didn't make it that far.
Because we were like, what, how did that work? Did they put the chicken inside the turkey? Inside?
You're going to have to pull up a whole John Madden film on that one. Yeah. Pretty sure he walks through it in detail multiple times.
It's also the only time of year where you get to hear the word succulent.
Yeah.
David Palmer put up a...
when's the last time you've seen a turducken? Like, don't get me wrong, my father was like post-John Madden, like... bringing it up ever on TV. We had turducken once
you
or twice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I've never actually seen one in real life.
No. Yeah.
It's like the Yeti.
But like I haven't heard about it in 12 years now.
It's like seeing Bigfoot. The gentleman in that Survivor video is a gentleman by the name of Thomas Osman. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. But he's reacting to a side-by-side photo. Someone named David Palmer on Twitter put up a picture of Thomas reacting to his horrible beat in the Commanders game. And Ralph from The Simpsons when Lisa broke Ralph's heart. It was a side-by-side photo, and Thomas Osman chimes in. He goes, my friend's family will love this comparison. So he's taking it well.
Oh, good, man.
Taking it well, good. Sorry about the outcome. Jesse Welch, can we get a refresher on Paul Carr's Champions League picks for today's game? Appreciate it. Should we just do the G-Bank Best Bets of the Day? Is it in there?
Yeah, it will be in G-Bank Best Bets. Yep.
It will be in the G-Bank Best Bets. Ladies and gentlemen, our Best Bets of the Day, sponsored by G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Let's start with mine. This is Ashton Jeanty, again, plus 750 to win the Heisman. We got into a spirited talk about it yesterday here on the show. I do have the Packers tomorrow night, the third of the three Thanksgiving games. Going to be sub 40 in Green Bay. Actually, I looked at the weather. 31 is the highest it's going to get. Maybe some flurries in Green Bay. Packers minus 3. I took the Bengals on Sunday, minus 2.5. I bought this down to minus 2.5. I bought it down to minus 2.5 yesterday. Minus 122 is my juice on that. And all three of me, Todd, and Will are all on the Cardinals, plus the 3.5 points. The Cardinals, this is the second time all of us have been on the Cardinals, and they won that time.
Was it Jets?
This is the Jets. Well, was the Jets the last time?
Yeah.
Yes, it was the Jets game. Yeah, they were like 1-point favorites or 1-point dogs in that game.
Right.
Right.
At home.
At home. And we were on
the Vikings this week.
And it's the Vikings this week getting 3.5. Yours, sir. Oh, man, look at yours.
Yeah, because I joined you on that one. It was more of a fade of the Jets for me that week, but I was... It's another thing this season. I'm surprised that I feel like I'm always the Cardinals guy. You're kind of taking that over this year.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. All right, NBA for me tonight. Hawks team total under 115. Rockets, so kind of a little bit heads up there with JVT sticking the points with the Hawks. Trey Young questionable. That kind of hangs all of this in the balance. But Cavs holding their opponents under 115, 6 of their last 8. Defense stepping up on that side of the ball for them. Rockets, 76ers under 219 for me. How about this one? The longest one I've ever had to type up for this. Jokic over 28.5 points. Nuggets team total over 120.5 parlay, plus 175 in the Nuggets game tonight against the Utah Jazz.
I was going to say it had to be a same game parlay because of the correlation.
Yeah. There, yeah. Know. You may remember the Nuggets coming off a game where they got absolutely blasted by the Knicks at home, expecting to see a significant effort from Jokic and the Nuggets tonight. Thunder money line against the Warriors tonight. Steph Curry questionable tag. I think I like it anyways, but wanted to get in front of this before this number flies away. And then NFL for me this week, Bills, Falcons, and Rams so far in the accounts.
Remember, boys and girls, with same game parlays, you're not getting the bang for your buck you deserve. Just know that you're doing that when you're betting those. Jim Root. Wow, that seems like this was 3 hours ago. James Patrick Root from Three Man Weave. He's on Oklahoma today, laying 2 points college basketball. So on Texas A&M, -3.5, and Long Beach State catching 6. He's a little off the grid on college basketball. JVT is on the Hawks tonight, +10, and he's laying 2.5 with the Oklahoma City Thunder. To Matt Brown. Matt Brown is on the Cowboys tomorrow, laying 3.5 against the New York Gigantes. Is also got a prop there. CeeDee Lamb over 6.5 receptions at even money. And he's taking the under in the Dolphins-Packers game tomorrow night in Green Bay. Dallin Cuff just on with us. He's more at the top of the rankings in college basketball with his plays in games largely in the Bahamas and Maui. Indiana, the Hoosiers, laying 2.5 against Louisville here in about 10 minutes. Dayton catching the points versus UConn, catching 6.5. He's on the Michigan State team total under versus North Carolina. That's under 76.5. Memphis first half play catching 4.5 versus Auburn. Then he's laying 14.5 with the Zags against West Virginia. And he's also taking Xavier on the money line against Michigan. And then from yesterday, we got this question from Jesse Welch.
And he did, Dallin Cuff did have one Champions League play. I didn't type in there because I couldn't find a price. You'd have to shop around. Liverpool, Real Madrid, both teams to score and no draw. We've heard Paul Carr give the both teams a score several times. I couldn't find the no draw option on DraftKings, so you might have to shop around for that one. Paul Carr on, do I get to read these? Girona over Sturm Graz.
Hirona? I don't know. That's how I pronounce it. Spanish.
PSV Eindhoven laying 1.5 versus Shakhtar Donetsk from Ukraine.
Good job.
Got that last
one. Sturm Graz.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Actually, Girona or whatever. That one's tougher.
My Girona?
Yeah.
G-Bank, the official bank of VSiN. Best bets brought to you by G-Bank. The G-Bank Visa Signature Card is your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSIN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply, which brings us to our NFL Power Rankings. Plug it in.
102.9 WMGK, Philadelphia.
I asked the one time for people to tweet in. A couple people did, and I wrote them down somewhere.
I just did Philly.
Oh, someone prepared. All right.
Paying attention, man?
I thought you made it up.
No, I didn't.
Honestly.
Here's my power rankings. Oh, my God. I see a team that's still in there. Lions remain 1. Ravens remain 2. Lions, of course, getting it done against the Colts. Ravens getting it done against the Chargers. Chiefs remain 3. Again, though, they eke a win out against the Panthers. Aaron Schatz has them as their, what was it, the 4th worst 10-1 team of all time? Chiefs remain 3. Bills remain 4. They were idle. The Eagles are the big mover. They go to 5. They deserve to be.
Yeah.
They were just absolutely great the other night. Eagles are 5. The Packers fall to 6. How are the Niners still in this at 7? This is the Brock Purdy version of the Niners. And we don't know, by the way, if Brock Purdy's a go or not.
That's a good point.
We have no idea.
There are multiple.
Let me just say this. If it's not Brock Purdy, the Niners won't even be on this list.
The other one I did see come down a little while ago. Trevor Lawrence practicing today. So
yeah, and we don't know about Tommy DeVito and... And, of course, Drew Locke yet. We don't know about that for the Giants. Texans remain at 8 despite their loss. This was an interesting week to do power rankings because the teams at the top won, and then you get to this area where they all lost.
Yeah, right, yes.
So it was a little tougher. The Texans, though they lost to the Titans, they remain at 8. The Commodores, though they lost to the Cowboys, remain at 9. Steelers, though they lost to the Browns, remain at 10. Vikings, though they beat the Bears, remain at 11. Broncos move up to 12. Cardinals move down to 13. Those two teams just flip for me. And then the Chargers and Bucks remain at 14 and 15. The Chargers, despite their loss to the Ravens, the Bucks, who just have an easy peasy schedule the rest of the way. The Bucks going to win that division, man. And the Bucks remain 15 with a very feisty Baker Mayfield.
God, I hope you're all wrong, but Baker Mayfield is also my favorite quarterback in the NFL this season. Not even close. The way he's playing, I love seeing it. All right, mine real quick. Lions, Bills, Ravens remain the same. Top 3, I flipped Eagles and Chiefs. So Eagles go to 4, Chiefs down to 5. Packers, I guess my big riser here, up to 6. So we have the same six teams, the same top six teams, just different order. Vikings, I have it 7. They go up a spot, flipped them. Steelers move down a spot to 8. Texans, I punished, moved them down to 9. I still believe in them, but they got to start showing something here. How about the Dolphins from not ranked to 10? Watch out for this team. Starting to click on offense and the defense looking better. Yeah, I know. Aggressive move there. Chargers stay at 11, move the Broncos up to 12. Commanders drop to 13. And you know what? I just decided to discard the 49ers because of all the health issues. They'll return when they're healthy, and I can feel like I can trust them. Bucks 14, Rams 15 for me.
Yeah, I think those top six, though, I think that's I was going to say it's pretty uniform, but yeah, going back to Aaron Schatz.
I would hope so.
The big anomaly with him in the current NFL power ranks is that he has the Vikings in his top six still. So that's the difference.
Yeah, if you go, you compare DVOA and PFF's grades, it's kind of stunning. There's always one or two teams that stick out.
We've done all we can do. Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. We will be here tomorrow. Kelly and I will be here Thanksgiving morning. Talk about all three games for Thursday. Stormy is next with Money Moves. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.